Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to the KT Talk Show. You already know me, KT, the host, but today I have my new friend, Patricia. We actually met on Poddit, and I know that there's a lot of people that I meet on there, but you know, her and I had a really like instant strong connection, which was really cool. We just have a lot of the same mindset, and I'm like, all right, we got to do a show. We got to get on here. You got to tell your story. You know, we got to hear what you do. And we're going to talk about, you know, a couple things, but if you guys, don't already know, if you're very deep within your soul, you know, and you let your soul speak, you know, this is what Patricia does. You know, she speaks from her soul. So things that she says is really genuine. And you know, I just want you guys to take in what she says and, you know, Patricia, go ahead and introduce yourself and then we'll just go from there.
Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody that is listening. My name is Patricia. I am Portuguese, but I've lived in many places in the world. I'm a clairvoyant counselor and healer. So I work with personal development, spiritual development, and healing. That is the core of what I do. And I got to connect to Katie exactly because of that, because I saw her profile in Poddit, and I thought that I felt a connection, like instant connection to her when I saw her photo. And that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, I love it. So let's talk about like more about what you do. Like why did you get started? Why do you call yourself a clairvoyant? I can never say that word. I knew I was going to do that. I knew that was going to happen. The counselor and healer and teacher, like, why do you call yourself that? You know, like what got you into all this?
So maybe I start from the beginning.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, I studied to be a fashion designer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some other type of work because actually, it didn't make me feel very well. I didn't feel that was my place. Mm-hmm. And I was the whole time trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I always knew that I was supposed to help people. I didn't know how. But in 2004, I found yoga.
Yeah.
And though my personal development started years earlier, due to going through a very difficult time in my life when I really figured out that things were not working out in my life and I was really feeling lost. So I decided that at that time I would just stay at home for 6 months and just write and paint and think about myself. I really noticed that I needed to reconnect to myself because I was feeling so mm-hmm. lost.
Yeah.
And then as I entered that journey, I discovered yoga.
Wow.
It was a casual thing, but I fell in love with yoga. I had a really good teacher that was really helpful because our classes were not just about the body. We're mm-hmm. also about the mind, the emotions, yeah. and the soul. So that helped me a lot to discover myself also. And a few years after that, I felt like I changed a few things about me. I went through a transformation mm-hmm. Due to the yoga, due to meditation, also to the cognitive work I was doing. And I decided that it was time to just leave the corporate world mm-hmm. and to become a full-time yoga teacher. Wow. And this was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started. And then it was a journey that just led me to different things. In the beginning, I really knew that yoga was just like a door I had to go through mm-hmm. to something else. I didn't know yeah. what that was. I knew it wasn't yoga that I was supposed to do
mm-hmm.
For the rest of my life, but
yeah.
I knew it was just a door to go mm-hmm. into what I was supposed to do.
That's so cool. I love that. So, I feel like that's kind of like how I was too. Like I started with yoga too. Like that was kind of the beginning. And I'm like, I know I don't want to teach this, but this is really cool. You know, this is really eye opening. So.
And yeah. actually I taught for many years I taught yoga. Awesome. So I haven't been teaching now maybe for just like 4 years,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. 5 years that yeah. I decided to dedicate entirely to sessions, to healing sessions.
Mm-hmm.
My journey just started, and clairvoyant, because yeah. ever since I was four,
mm-hmm.
that I have spiritual awareness and I used to see things.
Oh, wow.
I came from a very conservative family.
Mm-hmm.
So Portugal is in the south of Europe, so we are very Catholic. Mm-hmm. And people now are changing, of course, but when I was a young child in the 70s, people were still very conservative, and my father was extremely conservative, so I could not speak about these things.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. my whole life I just tried to push it away and not yeah. look at it,
yeah.
because it was something that I could not cope with. I was scared of it, to be honest, also.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to deal with that. But then in 2012, when I was living in Spain, my boyfriend died.
Oh my gosh.
And that was really a moment that I felt that I needed to face that aspect of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I went through a situation where someone close to me died, I had a lot of experiences with the person. So at that
you moment, mean like like spiritually you had experiences?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Actually,
so you were able to really like see spirits, and oh my goodness. Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I'll have to ask you a little bit more about that.
So that made me feel when this happened, when I was living in Madrid, that I needed to dive deep into this part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So to release myself from the fear I had of it and to accept it fully, mm-hmm. because I felt it was a huge part of myself that I did not accept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I was already on a long personal development journey. And then yeah. I went into a huge spiritual journey. And wow. it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that just led me naturally
yeah.
into the healing arts, because I discovered that I was very powerful with energy yeah. healing.
Wow.
And I also discovered that out of nothing.
Yeah, right. I can do it, right? Like, I can do this.
You know, so when cool. when I did my first Reiki course, and I was attuned to Reiki, and when I was doing my first 21st days of self-healing,
mm-hmm.
I burned my hands. So
oh, wow.
energy was so powerful, I had to stop it. And it was like I had my hands, my palms were all red.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
It was a really powerful situation. And I understood that I had like this vocation to do that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Very
yeah.
natural.
Burning your hands. Right. I don't think there's any other sign that's more strong than that right there. My hands were literally burning. Like, oh my gosh. That's wild. Wow.
You know, and actually it was everything that I actually do now.
Mm-hmm.
I was led into that.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was not that I chose to do it. I was led into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I'm like, obviously not as far as you are, but I feel like of just talking to different people, you know, we're all at different stages. And I feel like I'm just to that point where I'm realizing that that's where, you know what I mean? That's how things are happening, I guess, is what I'm trying to say for me, because I'm like surrendering, you know, I'm kind of just like in a way, like letting go, you know what I mean? To spirit and God. We'll talk more about that, because I don't know necessarily what you believe in, because there's I don't even know sometimes, but you know what I mean, there's so many things. I just want to know what you think about that too, but keep going.
So you know, it was a natural evolution,
mm-hmm.
that led me to everything that I do now. So for example, I do holistic tarot readings, And the tarot just came into my life. I from one day to the other, I started dreaming about the tarot. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And every day I was dreaming about the tarot. And one day I said, okay, I'm going to buy a deck. And today I bought the deck. I stopped dreaming about it.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
You know, so.
So how did you, if you don't mind me asking, so how did this, I mean, because you said you were doing, like after your boyfriend passed, right? That was more of like that real push to do get more into this, right?
Yeah.
So like what, like, I don't even know how to ask this question. What was like one of the first things that you knew, like it was your soul, like your genuine, like soul, like guiding you or kind of like speaking to you? Like when was that first moment? Do you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of like
actually,
that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that, when my boyfriend died, and mm-hmm. actually this is the first time that I'm talking publicly about this. When he died, I saw him die in the hospital. So I was with him.
Wow.
And it was so strange because the whole time I felt that he hadn't died.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. I was looking at his body and I was looking at my friend and say, he's not there anymore. Wow. He's not there anymore, but he's not dead.
Wow.
You know, so this was something that I felt immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that also happened, I felt like something had taken hold of me because the day that he died, I went home. I was in shock, of course, and I was in shock for a while because he was very young. So at the time I was already 40 and he was 24.
Oh my gosh.
So it was really unexpected, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And the next day I remember that in the morning I got up from bed and I decided that I had to go by and go through my day the same way I did every other day. So I said, no, you are not going to stay in bed and cry.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have a shower, you are going to get dressed, you are going to put on your makeup, and mm-hmm. you are going to go out and do the things that you need to do. And instantly, it was like I put like this healing program for myself
mm-hmm.
With what I needed to do. And it was, you know, so natural. I just knew that every day I was living in Madrid, so it's a big city. I knew I needed to be in nature. So I knew that mm-hmm. every day I had to go to the park
mm-hmm.
and spend at least 1 hour in the park.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and take some sun.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had to eat and to mm-hmm. force myself to eat. I knew that I had to figure out ways to sleep better. So it was like everything was just coming to me in a natural way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that was the first time that I really felt like something was taking hold of me. And I really feel it was my higher self just saying, okay, I'm in charge now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do what I say.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know?
Wow,
and from then onwards, it was like, I just, you know, surrendered to that. I needed to understand why that was happening. Why he died so young. Why he was mm-hmm. with me at that time, why I was with him at that time, you know?
Right, right, definitely.
So for me, that was a huge journey towards understanding the reason why. And it was quite interesting to understand that I got to a conclusion and I understood why that was, why he mm-hmm. had died when he died and why that happened and why we were together at that time,
mm-hmm.
you know? And for me, just, you know, all this journey just open up a new world for me.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love it. It's just so peaceful. You know, I mean, it's because you're not, you know what I mean? When you talk about it, you say like, you know, the whole experience made sense and, you know, and that, and to me, like, I know when you say that, you know, you have like, you know, like love about it and you're not, you know, you're not angry about the situation. You understand, you know what I mean? And that's, I think important for, you know, I'm just saying for people who are listening, because I know that there are people with some mental health or, you know, that have trauma and things like that. You know, it's, we get so stuck on just the grief and the sadness and, oh my gosh, like why, you know, why did this happen? But you know, like you said, if you can just reach inside and I don't really want to say pray, but you know, some people, if you want to, you know, you can pray. But just believing in yourself, I guess, is like a big thing too, you know, believing in, yeah.
I think that it's important to understand, and this is something I speak often, mm-hmm. is that we are all different.
Yes.
And we have different spiritual connections.
100%.
And we resonate mm-hmm. differently to different things.
100%.
So, for example, when I work with someone, mm-hmm. I often ask, what are their, you know, spiritual beliefs? Because yeah. I don't want to impose my spiritual beliefs, because I don't right. think that makes sense. And I like to work with the person where the person is and yeah. with what the person believes, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, we are different. Our souls are different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we resonate differently to different things. So some people will, you know, for example, me, I connect to angels and to archangels and to ascended mm-hmm. masters.
Yeah.
But other people will connect to elementals or to fairies or, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't really matter. Or some people don't really know what they believe and they'll just connect to energy or to the universe.
Yeah, yeah, right,
you know,
right.
Or to Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's yeah. all fine, because in the end, we are all speaking about the same thing.
Right, exactly.
Something yeah. that is huge and transcends all mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you said that, because I was going to kind of ask you if you could in some way explain that, because, you know, it's hard to just, that's why I asked you, you know, like, how did you know that your higher self was kind of coming through you, or your soul was, you know what I mean? That you knew you were being your true self. I'll say that you knew you're being your true self. Because I'll just say quickly, like, you know, I believe that there, you know, it's just the universe and the energy, and we have, you know, we do have spirit guides for sure. I do believe in that stuff. But like you said, everybody believes in something differently, but it all in the end is the same thing, right? It really,
it's the same
like
thing,
it's
yes.
the same thing. So that's basically what I'm getting to, is although we have those, you know, beliefs, that really, if we all can just understand that it really is just this, it's like this bowl, you know, and it's just the same thing that we can kind of like take from, you know what I mean? The little bits and,
you know, if you believe that we are a soul mm-hmm. that has gone through a journey and has had different experiences throughout its soul life.
Yeah.
Right? So those different experiences will make us resonate to different things.
Yeah.
Right? So one yeah. of the things yeah. that I do, I do like a soul profile, Akashic record reading, mm-hmm. in which I go and see what is your soul group.
Okay.
So your soul group gives a lot of your main characteristics,
mm-hmm.
you know, so mm-hmm. why? Because that was the place that you incarnated for the first time, that your soul incarnated for the first
yeah.
time. So because it was the first time that you were somewhere, you just mm-hmm. absorb those characteristics,
yeah,
you know, more intensely, and you bring them with mm-hmm. you into this lifetime.
So how do you do something like that? Is there a way for you to explain that at all without giving the whole thing? I don't know, you know. I was like, how do I ask these questions? Sometimes they're just hard questions to ask, because sometimes you don't know how to explain things. You know what I mean? It's just like...
But so, well, I work through processes. Mm-hmm. Right? So I have my own process to do things. Mm-hmm. The Akashic records, I connect to the Akashic records. I connect to my spirit guides mm-hmm. within the Akashic records. And then I read the my client's soul record.
Okay.
I will just, you know, make some questions, and I will mm-hmm. get the answers to those questions.
Okay. Right? Yeah, is it some, so it's something that kind of just comes to you in the moment type thing, like the questions to ask them?
Well, I have a structured reading in which I know I have certain questions I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look for the answers.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. I just didn't know if it, you know, the way that you were explaining it, I was like, oh, does she just kind of let it, you know, come through her and ask the questions and the answers? Cause you know, you can ask yourself questions and you get the answers and things like that. So I didn't know if that's how you did it.
Yeah. Well,
so I was like, that's, you know, awesome. When,
so when you work as a professional in this area, you have certain, some routines and processes that you go through in order to receive the information. So one of the things that I do is disconnect myself from myself, right? Okay. And to connect myself with my guides, with my higher self, you know, so to be able to receive accurate answers.
Right.
But everything, you know, has a process to work in this area and to be serious about what you are doing. You have to take care about many different things. So it's important when we are starting this, that we learn to connect to the right spiritual entities.
Right.
Not just to any, and not just to any, because that is really dangerous.
Yeah. No, thank you.
So, you know, one of the things that I do, that I teach in my Reiki level one course is exactly that. To what you need to do when you are working with the spiritual realm. And you really need to learn to connect only to high vibrational or divine entities, because you know that you need to protect your space. Because whenever we are working with spiritual energy, there will be, you know, some curiosity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we want to protect everything. We want to protect the session. We want to protect our integrity, our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual integrity.
Yeah.
So it's good whenever we are starting in this journey of connecting to spiritual beings, to connect to divine beings, to connect to high vibrational beings, because those we know are the ones that will bring us, you know, the positive, even, you know, when they have to tell us difficult things that we don't want to hear.
Yeah. Which you know? Is always in the beginning, right?
Well, in, not only the beginning, you know, that my spirit team often says that I'm stubborn.
I am for sure too. I know that.
Because sometimes I just want to do things my way, or I just want to try things out. To try things out, you know, and they say, you know, I told you so, you shouldn't do this, it wouldn't work, you know.
That's
but
so funny.
We do what we have to do. What's important is that we connect to the right things. Whatever you believe in, for sure it will be something of a high vibration. But whenever you connect to a spiritual being, it can be a fairy, it can be an angel or archangels. We know that angels and archangels are divine beings, because so we know that we can connect to them freely. But if we are connecting to energy or to fairies or to any type of elementals, we should, you know, say that we want to connect to high vibrational type of entities.
Yeah, definitely. And do you do have people do any like visualizations, like in meditations and things like that? Or is it hard to say because everybody's different? Like, you know?
Well, when you mean when you are learning to connect?
Yeah. When you're, in that first like process of just learning to connect, you know, how do you start with people, or what do you suggest?
You can, one of the things that you can do is actually meditate.
Okay.
So I can actually tell you what I did when I started.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I started doing this disconnection process, I would just go into meditation. So it's important to learn to meditate first.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that prevents us from really accessing the voice of our soul and our true intuition, not our desire, our intuition,
yeah,
is being under stress, is allowing desire to be in the forefront, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to calm down first, and meditation is very good for that. So it's important to meditate, to calm down, and to release anxiety, and that is a very important thing to do. But what I would do was just to go into meditation and to do a visualization. So in my specific case, it made sense for mm-hmm. me to go up, to walk up a mountain in Greece. I don't know why.
Right. That's just what I felt like. Right.
It just made sense for me. Mm-hmm. So actually mm-hmm. what happened was like I started going up the mountain. It was like you had stairs, and I just went up the stairs, and then I go into the top of the mountain, and there was like a coffee shop, and I just sat down there, and I just waited for someone to come.
Just sitting there waiting.
And someone sat in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And my first connection was with someone that called himself Uriel,
mm-hmm. wow.
which I didn't know who that was. Actually, yeah. after that, I went to the internet and I looked for the name, and this is an archangel.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Like this is like literally like at this coffee shop.
Yes.
Wow. Oh my gosh. How cool.
So I just, I got into a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just made questions and I waited for him to answer, right? One of the things that is very important to do is that oftentimes we desire certain answers.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get into a place where we are free of our desires. That's why it's important to also to practice meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we want to hear what we desire, we will hear what we desire, right? And that is not intuition, and that is not connection. That's just our desire speaking.
Wow.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. it's important to mm-hmm. discern between what is real intuition and what is our desires speaking, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I think for someone who's new to this, that like, let's just say that they're not as open and willing, as some people might be, because, some people just, this is hard to say, because I feel like a lot of us are just genuinely called to people like you, like you and I, like we were called to each other, right? Like we found each other, and there's some people that we're just not called to, we're not called to us, right? But then there's like those curious ones, like the curious people that are like, I'm not saying I don't believe it, but I also believe this too. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like it's hard sometimes to explain like the process to like certain people, So I think it's cool. But basically what I'm saying is I think it's cool because the way that the way that you do your work, like you're saying, I understand you're different, and at least just start with the meditation and it'll kind of just find you, right? And it depends. And I know that meditation can be different. Because I like to dance. I think I told you that when we first were talking.
Well, actually one of the things my introduction to meditation was actually through drawing.
Oh,
because
yeah.
when I was 14, I was in love, and I'm still in love with drawing. So I didn't know that I was meditating until I started yoga,
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I said, that's what I was doing.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's also a cool thing too. When you also mentioned, I wanted to say something about this, when you mentioned that the way that your teacher taught yoga was completely different than what, like the East, how we've changed everything. And it's like, okay, that's not what it is. Like yoga is literally like, isn't yoga considered a connection, right? Isn't that what like the definition of yoga is, like a connection? So it's like
unity.
Unity. That's right. That's what it is. That's not connection. Unity. I like that. Go ahead.
It's important to understand that one of the things that happened when we brought yoga to the West is that we brought just the physical practice.
Right. That's what.
But
that's
when we speak about yoga as a holistic practice, you have meditation, you have the yoga philosophy, right? And you cannot separate those things. So
no.
Do I believe that we need to do it the same way the Indians do it? No, because we are Western.
Right.
But we can, and that's what actually is what I did with my students is you can bring spiritual ideas into your yoga practice, things that are more natural to us in the Western world, because it doesn't really make sense to speak about, for me, it didn't make sense to use Sanskrit words because people don't understand them, you know, or speak about strange things that people don't understand. Like if you go to a class and you have a lot of people that don't know what the heart chakra is, but everyone knows what the heart is.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so for me, it's always important to simplify things. So you can translate things that are in the yogic tradition into a language that, Westerners can understand,
better. Definitely.
So it can be, good, but, you have to have all of that. You cannot just go to a physical practice of yoga because that won't do anything.
Right. And that's what honestly, what a lot of people do over here, like in America. That's why they're drawn to yoga, because, the first thing I remember, and this was like years ago, even when I was younger and I wasn't even into yoga, I remember them saying like, oh, yoga, like I got to go to my yoga class because this is a part of me losing weight. And this is a part of my body being healthy. Like that's what everybody thought, and everybody was like, yeah, I have to do yoga because I'm going to be in the best physical shape. And it was never about your mind, it was never about your soul. So I'm sitting here like, oh, I'm just going to revert to yoga because of the physical aspects. And then all these people that I started to, but then, like you did, like I just kind of naturally kind of got more into my spiritual side, whatever, everybody calls it something different, slowly. And I started to get to connected with the right people that are like, this is not yoga. Like, this is not what this is, And then I got to like Kundalini, and that's kind of what showed me, because that was kind of that, I like to call it your snake kind of coming up, the uncoiling. And I feel like that's what really made me more aware and started to really bring the like-minded people, to help me along my journey. So
well, I think it's important to understand that there's several different aspects to ourselves. So we are a body, but we are also a mind, and we are an emotional system. We are a spirit, right?
We're very emotional.
And we are energy. So we need to take care of all these aspects, because if we don't take care of one, the other ones will get imbalanced anyway.
I agree.
We have to work through balancing all aspects of self in order to really feel well.
And I think, I personally do think that it's important for people to practice yoga for the physical part, because obviously it is good for that.
It is.
100%. But I do agree that like the meditation is definitely 100% a part of that process of yoga, right?
Yes.
Because we're starting with the mind, I like to say, and then we're doing the physical. So we're bringing those aspects like all together. And I think it's really cool that we're kind of bringing that up, because I think a lot of people get that confused. I think that like, understand that meditation is a part of that yoga process. Like that's the unity, that's bringing all those, our spiritual process together.
It's part, and the fact is that we can, and that's how I always taught yoga. You can teach yoga with mindfulness. As you move with mindfulness. As you move through the postures, you understand what is happening to your body. And you feel your body. So I teach yoga through sensation. So this means that I don't need to demonstrate postures. I just speak.
Yeah.
And I lead people through the postures, even beginners.
Yeah.
And they don't need to look at me because I just speak to the movement, to what they have to do, and they have to feel the posture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you are in this deep self-awareness, you know, journey, a class, you are developing all that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
You know, so you can you can go into any type of yoga class, and if you decide to practice it with mindfulness, you know, you can reap a lot of different and new benefits in other aspects.
So let me ask you this, like with the different types of yoga. So you have, you know how you have like hot yoga and you have like the stone yoga, or, you know, just, you know what I'm talking about, how they have this, all these, is that really necessary? Like, is that stuff, you know what I mean? Is that kind of stuff necessary as a part of yoga? Or do you, you know what I mean? Like they're putting the word, I think putting the word yoga on that, I feel like is kind of not necessary. You know what I mean? Like when you say hot yoga, are you putting the stones, you're in yoga? I feel like, I don't know. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel like it's necessary to kind of like have those different forms, or like, what's your opinion on that?
So in the yogi tradition, what happens is that you have a master, and then he has pupils, and then, you know, each of them will develop a different way of practicing yoga. So in a sense, this is normal because we just bring ourselves into teaching.
Right.
Because I'm so much into healing, I ended up, you know, calling my yoga, you know, soul healing yoga.
Definitely.
You understand?
Definitely.
So, and I developed a practice in which healing was the thing that I wanted to give to my students.
Okay.
So it's normal. It's normal that people just, you know, adapt,
kind of branch off,
embrace it in different ways.
Yeah, definitely.
What I find unnecessary is all the hype with things that are not yoga.
Yeah, right.
So, for example, if you spoke about hot yoga is not a very healthy practice.
Right, I've heard that from people who like actually know the you know, original practice of yoga.
Yes, it's not healthy for many reasons. First, for practicing in an environment that is not your natural environment.
Right.
And yoga should always be practicing the natural environment. Right? So we want to mimic being in India with the heat. So what does the heat do to the joints? So the heat just loosens the joints and gives you the illusion that you have more flexibility. What also happens is that, well, because you are working with your body in a way that it shouldn't be working, you can injure yourself more easily. So people don't speak about this often, but there are very serious injuries in yoga.
Right. No, I remember because I actually did like a short little course on just learning like the mental part of yoga. And like, that was one of the first things they said, you know, before you actually get like, understand, you can hurt yourself. Like there are injuries that happen because like you just said, you have that illusion, that hot yoga, you have that illusion that your body is more flexible and you end up like completely pulling something or snapping something because you're pushing too much weight, you know, cause somebody didn't tell you that. So yeah, I have heard that before.
We need to understand that yoga, like meditation, is a practice.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's like a progressive journey.
Yeah.
And we have to accept where we are. So
100%.
Accepting where we are is part of the spiritual development. Because if you want to be somewhere else and you are not where you are and you don't accept where you are, you are not learning much, are you?
Right. No.
Right.
Definitely not. So, you're always wanting something more, and that's never gonna. You need to be where you are. Yeah.
So I will tell you a story that happened to me when I was a student. Mm-hmm. So my all my, you know, companions of yoga suddenly disappeared, and a bunch of new people came, and they were all part of contemporary dance, professional contemporary dance.
Yeah, just professional dancers, right?
Yeah. And I was like, and one day I was talking to my teacher, I said, I can never put my leg there. It's like, that's impossible for me.
Putting it, like bending it all the way back, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the answer, what she told me was like, yes, but they are not practicing yoga and you are. So you are much more advanced than they are,
mm-hmm.
even when you are physically much more restricted.
Yeah, right.
So mm-hmm. I understood that day that practicing yoga is not about what you, you know, can do. It's like the crazy things that you can do. It's yeah. how you do it.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. It's how mindful you are of what you are doing. Because mm-hmm. if you are pushing yourself and you are feeling pain
mm-hmm.
and you are pushing through joint pain, that yeah. is not a wise thing to do.
Nope, definitely not. You shouldn't know? Be feeling any pain. There should not be any pain whatsoever. And
it should be forbidden pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forbidden.
I'm glad that you also brought up with the comparing, you know, like, I can't lift my leg up like that, because that was how I was in the beginning. Like, I can't do that. And they're like, no, just if you need to do this and sit down like this and have a yoga ball, or not yoga ball, a workout ball, or, you know, whatever you need to do the stretches, like, don't feel ashamed or be hard on yourself because you can't do that one pose, you know? So I'm glad you brought that.
It doesn't really matter, because right. again, it's about how you are in the posture. Are yeah. you with mindfulness in the posture? So if you can just lift your foot from the floor one centimeter
right.
and you are in the posture, you are a yogi.
Right, 100%.
And you are doing more than a person that is, you know, pulling the leg up, you know, behind right. the when, head.
I know,
and hurting my gosh. Themselves, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, so, I always wondered if that was natural, but...
So there's the, you know, we have to understand that in yoga also, of course, you gain more flexibility, but you have mm-hmm. to allow your body to just become more flexible over time and with practice.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. We don't need time. To be, because, you know, we learn to, you know, we always want to be at the end, at the finish line.
I know. Yep, we do. Definitely. A lot of, yeah, especially those working, you know, entrepreneurs out there, just always yeah. trying to get to the end.
But, and then we forget to enjoy the process and the journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important to enjoy the journey, because it's during the journey that we are going to learn the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are just focused on getting there,
mm-hmm.
we will miss out.
Yeah, we'll miss out on it, on opportunities. We'll miss out on so many things that, you know, if you're just calm and you just, like, you're just taking life in, like, one breath at a time, like, that's how I like to tell people, then that's like you living, you know, like, you're breathing. Like, you breathing is so, like, beautiful in itself. You know what I mean? So it's just like, just that right there. I like to tell people, like, you're alive, you know, like, live right now.
Yeah, you know, we live in a society, you know, that has convinced that what is important is, you know, is to achieve things, is yep. to, you know, and that is not what's important. Because mm-hmm. if you are into a spiritual development path, you know that mm-hmm. what is most important is your spiritual development and personal development.
Yeah.
Is you learning, yep. you learning to live life, you learning to live with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To live with others, to understand how to navigate life,
yeah.
and to learn from the things that happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, because we kind of just have a little bit of some of us have a shield, you know, in a way that we don't think that the spiritual part or that stuff is necessary. And a lot of us get kind of made fun of because they're like, oh, well, you know, people like you just, like, you don't know what it's like to have a lot of money or something, you know, because money is happy, you know, just for example, that's totally small, but, you know, just like that. And it's just like, no, but are you really happy with yourself? is really the question, right?
It is. It is. And you know that most people are not happy with themselves and within themselves. And that's why actually I do the work that I do, because my first thing I do with anybody is that anybody that works with me on ongoingly is the first thing is to understand yourself, is to look at the past and reframe your ideas about yourself, about what happened to you, see yourself in different eyes, the truthful eyes. So that you can really start to cherish who you are and love yourself, because most people do not love themselves.
I don't know if you agree with this, but I heard somebody say that, you know, whether you believe it or not, like all of us had some sort of trauma, and it didn't have to be like, she said, like, it was like taking my lollipop away when I was a kid and I was so devastated. Like, we could still technically like hold on to that, you know, like when we're older. And it's like, that's something you have to like work through, you know, that you didn't work through. And you could just be somebody who constantly throws a fit because they don't get their way because of that one time when your lolly got taken away, right?
It's true. Of course, that we have to understand that whatever happens to us is the worst thing.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it's something that is really serious, really, really bad, or if it's just, you know, someone taking the lollipop.
Right.
But you feel it's like the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's happening to you at the time, because it's happening to you. That's normal, you know, but that happens. And I've seen it with some of my clients, because I also do regression work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that with some of my clients to understand, okay, this is coming from this situation that happened when I was a child.
Yeah.
And sometimes like you say, like the lollipop.
Yeah.
It's like simple things, and that destroys the person's confidence, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
And it 100%. Really influences you negatively throughout your whole life. But the thing is that there's something that I really like to say, that so I consider myself a problem solver. So I help, I help my students and clients to go from destructive situations, painful and negative, into constructive, positive situations. I feel like it's important for us to understand that everything has a solution. There's a solution to everything in life, and we can work out and live better and feel happy within ourselves and feel good in our daily life.
And there's really nothing to be afraid of. Like, I feel like there really is nothing in the, and like, I know there's people that can disagree, but like, I feel the same exact way. I feel like there is a solution, and there can be a positive solution, you know. But that's just, like I said, we can all have opinions and our whatever, but this is how we feel, right?
Well, so. It's difficult. Some people, we also have to understand that some people have more difficult lives than others.
Right. And that's what I do like to say that too. Like, we all go through so many different experiences and might not even go through a positive experience. You know, like, I don't remember somebody saying, you know, we're going through a meditation training and, you know, they're like, I don't even have any positive experiences in my life. They're like, I don't have a positive experience to go to, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, how do you help somebody go to a place like that?
But also, you know, sometimes it's because the people don't understand what are positive experiences.
Right. That's right? True too. Mm-hmm.
It's about how you feel about a positive experience. What is a positive experience to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because, for example, for me, a positive experience is to wake up in the morning and to be sunny.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Me too. Know? Yeah.
To go out and to, you know, to have the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 100%. if you, for example, don't have, you know, that mindset that you go out and the simple things that fill your soul, mm-hmm. then it's very difficult for you to find a positive thing in your life.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. So with people that feel that way, we have to reframe the way they see life completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and definitely. We have to work on them experimenting things in a different way.
Yeah.
And, you know, going out and really feeling the sun on their bodies, to feel the energy of the trees, mm-hmm. like simple things, mm-hmm. you know, because the fact is that the simple things in life are the best.
Yeah, they are.
And they
like
are,
like I said, breathing.
Mm-hmm. And they are all free, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's important because, you know, oftentimes in our society, we are just in this mindset, you know, what is positive? Positive is to, you know, to have, you know, huge things or big things, or you understand?
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean? So mm-hmm. sometimes I think that people need to reframe the way they see life.
Mm-hmm.
And with people that feel in that way, we have to reframe like those, what is positive and what is negative mm-hmm. for them, because mm-hmm. it's impossible to that a life is only filled with negativity.
Right. Well, and we things. Yeah, and I also want to say too, I don't necessarily, I made that comment about like there's always a positive outcome, but I also believe, you know, like we need the negative and the positive. I mean, I even have a yin and yang thing right here. You know, we need the balance, you know, it's that balance. So I kind of take back what I said, you know, sometimes we have to go through those negative outcomes to see a positive outcome, right? In a different sit in some senses, right? Or maybe we have multiple negatives before we get to that positive.
Yes.
Right. So
yes. And also because sometimes the negative leads us to more positive things.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Right. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes what we want is not necessarily what we need mm-hmm. and what is good for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, so
what we desire might not be for a lot, we could desire something for a long time and it might be the worst thing for us. Yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And also we have maybe to see situations, both positive and negative, differently, because every situation has a positive and negative.
Yeah, definitely.
Something that you say it's a positive situation, it will mm-hmm. have a positive and negative aspect. What we see as negative will also have a negative and a positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so everything that happens to us has positives and negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And you just kind of have to find that balance. Mm-hmm.
You have mm-hmm. to find that balance. Yeah. Right. Because if we just focus on the negativity or mm-hmm. on the negative aspects,
yeah.
then of course people just go into
the... Right, that's what I'm saying, like I don't have anything positive, I have no idea, but give so much.
You
right?
do. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's important to remind people that we all have positive things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, hard for us to, you know, to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that, for example, I've worked with a lot of women that suffer from sexual abuse, and it's interesting to understand, because one of the exercises that we do is to find the positives that came out of that situation.
I'm sure that's difficult.
And I can tell you, everyone has something to say.
Oh wow! Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Yes. Oh.
Wow. So it's very, very releasing for them, I would say, right? Probably they kind of just are like, okay, it's negative, but, you know, what did I get? What was the positive out of the situation after, right?
After, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot change negative situations,
mm-hmm.
but we can really control how we see them mm-hmm. and how we feel them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the perspective that we give any situation is how we will feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important for us to go through all that too. We have to feel it, kind of just embrace it a little bit, you know, not even a little bit. Sometimes you really have to embrace it. You know, you got to embrace it and feel it and just work through it and get to that next step.
So. Yeah, you know, often people just want to get away from the pain.
Yeah.
But the best thing is just to sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to say, it's okay. There's no problem. Mm-hmm. I just sit here with the pain and there's no problem.
Yeah. And it's hard. There's some things that I had, you know, I had some really, really bad back pain. And like working through that, it was more than just what I thought it was. We'll say that, you know, as far as like things I had holding inside of me, you know, and it's crazy how within a 10 to like 15 minute span of me working through that, I find myself lost in it. And then I didn't feel it anymore. Like it was like that process of like, okay, this is really uncomfortable and I want to just forget about this. I want it to go away, but let me just like feel into it and see where this is coming from. And then I just got lost in it. And, you know, and that's what I think, that's a part of the process, right?
You know, there's a lot of people that suffer from psychosomatic issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of diseases just come from mental and emotional issues.
Yeah.
So it's really important for us to work through them.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because we know that, you know, modern life, it's not an easy life.
Right. Right. It's, definitely not.
It's not an easy life. But if we become more aware, if we learn, because, you know, one thing that is important to understand that is that healing is also a skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A skill that you learn.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
So one of the things that I do in my practice is not, you know, I help people with energy healing and with spiritual healing, but my clients also have to work by themselves and I teach them what they have to do and we develop plans for them. So they can resolve the particular specific things they are dealing with,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we need to learn these things that will help us manage and get to the point where we can overcome these things.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I agree with you. Well, I'm glad that I have you here. I'm glad that we're talking about this. It's wonderful. So I wanted to give you some time to talk about some of your programs and like anything that you have online, you know, that you want to mention, or if you have anything coming up this year, you know, anything exciting, I'd love for you to be able to, and that's something we can kind of end on. But I wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to kind of just talk about your program, you know, what's available, what's going to be available, any changes, anything like that. I'm totally open for you to, you know, kind of have the platform for a minute and talk about your work.
So right now I'm doing single sessions and I'm working in ongoingly also with a few clients. Ongoing work is the best work because that means that I will use probably all the types of the single sessions with the client that I'm working with, mm-hmm. and we will just move through the process accordingly to what the person needs, and mm-hmm. I will use the tools that are necessary, to help the person overcome their issues. So ongoing work for me is the best thing because it's the thing that gives you the most beneficial results.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So with some people, I tend to work bi-weekly. Some people I work weekly. With mm-hmm. some people I work once a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It depends on where you also are. So people that have more difficult issues,
mm-hmm.
more sessions, the better, right?
Yeah.
But some people that are already in this process and they can work by themselves and they can sustain, for example, the whole month doing mm-hmm. the work that I give them to do, we can do monthly sessions.
Yeah.
You know, but cool. Then I also, you know, I do soul profile, Akashic record readings that are, you know, this is a reading that you do once in a lifetime. So it's just you do it once.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of tarot readings.
Mm-hmm.
I mix the Akashic records with the tarot, and I get a lot of information and very specific information about many areas. I also I tend to work not only with individual people, but I also work for companies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. With the tarot, and I just figure out what's coming, because with the Akashic records and the tarot, I can just predict what's coming, which are the things that are not so good, and how we can prevent those things, and what we can do now to get a better outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm doing this. I'm actually planning on doing a cord cutting online group session.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you're doing a lot, so that's why I was like, oh my gosh, you're throwing something else on there, right?
I have to be very careful, you know, because I don't want to burn out. I walk my talk, so
yeah.
I'm very careful about myself and my well-being and my health. So, you know, I just that's why I tend not to work with groups so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already have a lot of time with individual on one-on-one sessions. But yeah, I'm planning on doing this maybe March, April, doing a cord cutting,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that is very powerful also.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done it yet, but I've heard about it. Yeah.
It's very important, especially if you were in a toxic relationship with someone,
mm-hmm.
And to cut those cords of attachment, the toxic part of the relationship that stayed in your body, that is really important thing. So, but maybe, you know, if people want to go to my website and subscribe to my newsletter, I just send information maybe once a month about the things that I'm doing and
okay. Yeah, I'll share that, all the links that you sent me, I'll make sure to share that so you can have. And you are a wonderful artist. I know I commented on some of your stuff. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. You are a fabulous artist.
Yeah, I tend to my art, I tend to share that on my Instagram.
Yeah, I love it.
I like to share it also with my thoughts about the personal development and spiritual things, and sometimes life and day-to-day,
right? Just life, right?
Just life, because actually that is a huge part of myself, and I feel it's very therapeutical to me also. It has been since I was forever.
yes, I love art. I'm not the greatest artist in the world, but I find, you know what I mean? I find what works for me. I kind of just go with the flow. Like I'm like, I feel like painting today, and I just kind of let what goes, and I have some random things over there, but it, you know, I was like, hey, you know what, this is cool for me. Even if it looks like a 10-year-old drew it, it's totally fine.
Well, it doesn't really matter,
right?
It's exactly how you do it. Actually, I was thinking yesterday that I want to develop a workshop with color healing and with painting.
Oh, cool. I would totally do that with you. Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. I've been wanting to find people that have, because I like, that's so cool. Because I don't know too much about that, you know, about art. So people that actually know about art, I would want to learn from them. So.
Well, and I think that, you know, it's not so much about knowing, it's about feeling. It
oh yeah mm-hmm.
You know, and to feel what is good and bad for you, and to understand what you can learn more about yourself through painting.
Yeah, definitely. That's, you know? Beautiful. That's wonderful. Excuse me, I'm yawning. I was like, no, I wasn't. Yeah, well, that's so awesome. So people, you're very accessible. you know, all online. So that's really cool. And I did check out, you know, I saw on YouTube, you have some tarot readings on there. So you guys can check that out as well.
Some meditations too for the people that is also going through difficult situations. I have a few meditations with energy healing.
Cool.
So they are healing meditations. So I have a few. I try to post as I can.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand totally.
But I have a few things there for, you know, for people that want to try guided meditations, easy meditations that you can do at and that can have like a healing effect too at the same time.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, like those ones where you just kind of feel like you're almost asleep meditations, right? And then you wake up and you're
yes.
Yeah. And I love those ones. They're my favorite. I just did one last night and I literally was slept like a baby. I just was his voice and everything. I was like, oh, yep, here I go. I'm gone.
Which is good, you know, because most of us are really in need to relax.
Yeah, we do.
You know,
just not jump right out of bed. I noticed that was something I did too. I just got right out of bed and this, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm laying here for like 10 minutes. I'm not just getting right up out of bed anymore. I am laying here for 10 minutes every day.
You know, before I became a yoga teacher and changed my life, I used to get up like that. And I knew I had like 7 minutes to do this and 10 minutes to do that.
Not doing it anymore. Nope.
And now you know that I have 2 hours for myself before starting to work.
Need it.
Every day. Mm-hmm. So I need that time for myself.
That's wonderful.
And I give it to myself so I can, you know, drink my coffee and, you know, wake up, you know.
Right.
Sometimes I see some, you know, some videos about art or about, you know, anything that I'm interested or I read. I do just anything that I feel that helps me.
Yeah.
You know, to go into my day in a calm way.
Yeah, I agree. I try to do the same thing. I don't tip 2 hours. I don't usually do 2 hours, but like at least an hour for sure. Definitely for sure. Whatever. And it's usually reading, usually reading most of the time, but all right. Well, I appreciate you being on here so, so much today. And I think you and I will probably have plenty of other episodes to do together and connect in many other ways.
So I'm very open to all of that. Thank you for having me in your show.
Of course, of course.
I always, you know, I love to share, you know, my experience because I know there's a lot of people that are going through a bad moment, and especially now with COVID and all the restrictions and the situations,
it's a lot.
Difficult situations, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good moment for us to spread some light
into
the world.
The KT Talk Show is now on captivate.fm/theheartgridnetwork. You will find 5 other shows there as well. You can also listen on Spotify, Amazon, and Google Podcasts.